You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and we have previously covered the importance of cybersecurity in some of our other shows. But there was an alarming statistic put out by IBM that suggests that the average cost of a data breach for a South African organization is 41.1 million rand. Now, for more on this, we're going to be taking a look at just all of the intricacies around cybersecurity and the importance of cybersecurity with the Global Chief Technology Officer at Integrity 360, Richard Ford. He joins me on the line now to see what we make of this. Richard, lovely to have you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. 40 million rand is a staggering amount for any business, much less businesses that often found to be a lot smaller than other businesses. Why is the cost of a cyber attack so high?
Yeah, thank you. And it's great to be on. And obviously, it's 41 million rand in South Africa. I think, you know, I'm going to give a little bit of comfort first that we've got to put that number into perspective. Obviously, that's coming from IBM. And if you look at, you know, how they're building that number, that's going to be from the information they get from the organizations they're responding to, which does disproportionately put it towards those much larger organizations. Now, that's not to say that we don't need to worry about that whatsoever, but we do need to think about that. And I think I looked at a report in the UK from the UK government that looks across particularly all of the businesses, and actually that cost of data breach, particularly in the smaller businesses, around £12,000, which is obviously a much smaller number, but obviously a much smaller organization. But there are massive outliers in that. We only have to look at some of the high profile breaches that actually unfortunately have been in the UK of late, like Marks and Spencer's, you know, wiped half a billion off their share price, costing them 50 million a week. We look at Jaguar Land Rover, ground to complete halt to the point of where the UK government's had to step in to support their supply chain. So that impact is absolutely massive for those organizations. And actually it filters down, you know, take that Jaguar Land Rover example. You know, it's not just them being hit, it's all of their partners being hit as part of that cyber attack. So when you add all those bits together, then you can actually easily see, you know, we do get to that sort of staggering high costs of a data breach. And in terms of answering that question, you know, why are we at those kind of those figures? It's the effectiveness and impact that we're seeing. You know, more and more, you know, we've seen, and actually almost like a roundabout turn in terms of tactics. You know, initially when we had WannaCry, which is probably the first bit of ransomware that made the headlines, it was focused on, you know, impacting machines, preventing, you know, encrypting them, and preventing you from using them. But quickly, you know, cybersecurity threat actors moved on to stealing data and using that as their extortion lever, as what we call double extortion. We then got triple extortion. You know, when we weren't responding to the data that's been stolen, they go use that data to go to your customers, to your partners, to get them to add a little bit more of a lever on top for them to pull. And now we've gone right back round to focusing on massive impact, you know, shutting systems down. And actually a lot of it is control systems, you know, where it's a huge impact on the business and stopping that business from operating. And then very quickly, you can see how you end up at 41 million rand.
Richard, for the longest time, a lot of the weaknesses that have been identified within these sorts of cyber attacks have been down to, in the case of phishing scams, in the cases of embedding malware, have been down to sort of human error and sort of a low human firewall, for lack of a better term. Is that still the case? Is the main point of failure the employees within a business or the human aspect of the interactions?
Yeah, I don't like to think about it as the point of failure or our users and humans being that weakest link. I think that is the way that that it's viewed. We've got to completely flip that. They are our first and best line of defense. And that reason, as you say, is because a lot of the time they are targeted. You know, social engineering is, you know, one of the primary ways that that hackers get into organizations. And we've seen that with those breaches that I talked about. And I won't go into too much detail there. But in fact, actually, I only did a webinar as part of Cybersecurity Awareness Month for end users everywhere. And this morning, this is exactly what we talked about. Now, that perception does come down to behaviors. And in fact, actually, Gartner, who are a business and technology research and analysts, they did a survey of end users and their approach and behaviors when it came to security. And actually, 67% of the people that responded said that they used the same password across multiple platforms, which we all know is a big no-no. I think it was 65%, and they quite happily open emails from and attachments from users that they and people they don't know. Again, something that we wouldn't do. But probably the most important stat that you can take from that survey is that 93% knew that these actions caused enterprise risk and risk to our data, but they did them anyway, which kind of talks to, well, actually, we need to not say, they are the weakest link. Actually, how can we support better? How can we make sure that we have a culture where they're happy to challenge, where they're happy to raise their hand? It's not going to be punitive punishment for clicking on a link or opening a file. There's nothing worse, from an incident response perspective. When you're responding to an incident, you want to know as soon as possible to limit the impact and understand exactly where it came from. There's nothing worse than people just sitting there fearing for their job or shame and embarrassment across the company than not reporting it. The other side of it, actually, there's a big, everyone talks about AI, so I'm not going to miss the opportunity, but AI is playing a big part in social engineering. Where we used to get poorly written emails that we could spot the grammar was off, now we can chuck them into ChatGPT and you can speak any language you like fluently, and also your grammar is absolutely perfect and language is perfect. So it's becoming a lot more convincing. And we actually saw that there was an over 4,000% increase in phishing emails after the advent of ChatGPT. I think that speaks volumes.
So, Richard, it sounds as though we need to be moving more from an awareness state within organizations to taking action. One of those actions, as you rightly mentioned, is remembering that the employees within a business are the first line of defense, and therefore certain actions on their part could be the difference between financial ruin for a business and preventing a serious cyber attack. What are some of the other actionable steps that businesses can take to protect and insulate themselves?
Yeah, so there's a huge amount of steps. There's plenty of, you're talking to a CTO, so I could give you plenty of technology answers, but most of them are people and process. I mean, you need to take a very secure approach to cybersecurity and think about the full life cycle, that we understand what we're protecting, where our data is, that we understand how it's going to be attacked, putting those controls in place, whether it's people, process, technology, but being mature and saying, as much, we can spend as much money as we like. We've seen it from big organizations that a breach is likely to happen at some point. So it's not an if, it's a when, and we need to be able to detect that. So a lot of organizations are investing in managed detection and response services because, there is I think it's currently 4 million shortfall in cybersecurity resources globally. And I believe it's 3,000 across the continent of Africa, that we have a shortfall in people, we have a shortfall in skills. So people are looking at services that they can consume. And one of those has to also be incident response. If we do get hit by an incident, the speed that we respond to is critical. We talked about those users and how they can impact that. And obviously spotting and flagging an incident is important. The current dwell time for an incident, we used to talk about it being in hundreds of days before a threat actor was identified or they acted on their intentions. We're now down into 10 days. Part of that's that we've improved our way of identifying them, but also it's the speed that they move at. And when something does happen, we've got to be prepared, or organizations have to be prepared, top to bottom, and have a clear incident response plan in place. So that everyone knows their roles, responsibilities. When we're responding to incidents, one of the biggest impacts, apart from not getting flagged quick enough, is an organization not being prepared to take actions that they need to. There's a whole crisis management topic. But if there's one thing that I'd recommend after getting an incident response plan in place, is to actually test it. And that's not just a technical test. Are we going to respond? Probably the most important people are the exec level that are going to make serious decisions about their business, because it may be like the co-op in the UK. They chose to pull the plug, take the hit themselves to limit the impact. And that is not something that somebody in the security team is going to make. That is a business decision. So testing that, walking through a tabletop exercise, really preparing the team from top to bottom to respond to an incident is absolutely critical.
The importance of being prepared cannot be overstated, especially where it relates to cybersecurity matters. The last thing you want is to find yourself on the receiving end of a cyber attack with no plan to get out of it. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thank you so much to Richard for those insights and for the time. Richard Ford, Global Chief Technology Officer at Integrity 360, joining us to take a look at cybersecurity and its importance in the modern era.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.